John, good morning. And I got to tell you, first things first, I thought you did a wonderful job kind of looking back on Canucks Central with Sat and Alex the other day on looking back so respectfully on the career of the first star of the Vancouver Canucks organization, Andre Boudreau, who passed away earlier this week.
Well, thanks. I mean, it's a funny thing. You know, growing up where I grew up in B.C., and the Canucks in those days meant so much. It was easy to really grasp onto what Andre did on the ice. He was so much fun to watch. And he, you know, was he a superstar in the league? No, but he was ours. And it was something that carried me through so many years of loving the game, and then was really fortunate, because I stayed in the game, to meet him and talk to him and reminisce all the time about those days and about that first playoff series ever in Canuck history in the spring of 75 against Montreal. And it's one of those ones that when I look back at my own life, so what got me into this business, what got me as far as I did, was the love of the early Vancouver Canucks. So it was a time of passion for me, and it's carried me a long way.
Well, and with the respect for that, the love of the Canucks was because of the love of the Griffith family and Emily Griffith passing away since we've last talked.
Last week, yeah.
Wow. John, are we going to see ownership like that anymore, where it really is family, or it's just business is way too big now to have that kind of way?
Well, there still are some teams that have family ownership. I mean, the Anaheim Ducks, Henry and Susan Samueli own the team and are very much involved in their players' lives. I don't think anybody like the Griffiths, though. I mean, Vancouver Canuck players and management will tell you how spoiled they were with the whole family, with Frank and Emily and Frank Jr. and with Arthur, and what they did for the hockey club for so many years. That was if mine was passion, I assume theirs was too. I think you're right, Perry. I don't think we're going to see corporations like we have here in Toronto, more so than anything else, or what exists in some of the other cities. The bigger issue in many ways, Perry, is that some of the individual owners, I'm not sure they like the pressure anymore. You know, you look what Eugene Melnyk's going through in Ottawa and Darryl Cates is going through in Edmonton. Sometimes that passion and love of the sport gets a little bit detoured when the team doesn't win.
John Shannon with us here on this Friday morning on Sportsnet 650. John, here we are, just over 2 weeks away from the NHL trade deadline. What sort of scuttlebutt conversations are we hearing out there? Is there anything picking up across the landscape?
The only thing I think that is a constant is everybody's waiting to see what happens, I think, with five players. Wayne Simmonds in Philadelphia, no guarantee that he's going to be traded. Chuck Fletcher said he was actually going to try to sign him or trade him before the 25th. The two guys in Columbus, Panarin and Bobrovsky, still not convinced they're going to do anything with them. And then the two guys in Ottawa, Stone and Duchesne. And really, it's a bit of a logjam because of waiting to see if a team can actually get one of those guys in order to put them over the top. The other thing is, there was before Christmas, we all talked, well, St. Louis is a seller. Chicago might be a seller. Well, hold on now. There's no point in being a seller now if you're in St. Louis. You're in the playoffs. And Chicago's not far behind. With those nine teams within 7 points in the West for those two spots, everybody's going for it, and it's going to create a ton of interest, and I don't think you want to change your team that much.
Yeah, so you think we're getting set. It's kind of been disappointing over the last 5 or 6 years. You know, NBA just had their trade deadline day, and they lived up to the billing with some big moves made. It hasn't been like that with the NHL, and John, to your point, those many teams that still might be fighting in the next 3 weeks, do you think it becomes pretty quiet?
Well, it's going to take a general manager that thinks that the only way he can make the playoffs is touch his core. And we're going to be dealing in lots of small stuff otherwise. The other thing is that maybe we've seen the big trades already. Maybe, the one that Chicago made before Christmas with Arizona that got them Dylan Strome, who's played pretty well in Chicago, the Jake Muzzin trade in Toronto. The one team I think that might still do it and might still want to tweak are the Maple Leafs, because I think they have to find a way to compete with Boston and Tampa. And if Toronto's going to do something, you know darn well the Bruins are going to do something. So they're the teams that are going to be out there trying to find a way to get something more. I think the Maple Leafs still think that they're in either get a depth forward or even another defenseman. And the Bruins know they need another top six forward. So that Atlantic division with Tampa, Toronto, Boston, and don't forget Montreal, they're the ones that might make the biggest noise, which is comparable, I think, to what we saw in the NBA yesterday with teams at the top trying to find a way to get, knowing full well they're going to face each other in the first couple of rounds of the playoffs.
It is a busy time for GMs. In a couple hours, Brad Treleving will join us in the 8 o'clock hour, the Calgary Flames GM. What do you make of the job he's done there with that hockey team?
Well, I mean, I don't think there's been a more aggressive manager in the game in the last 3 years than Brad.
Yeah.
When you think of trying to find a way to improve the hockey club, and at the same time showing a little bit of patience. You know, there were a lot of times that I would have suggested that the patience he showed in getting Goodrow signed just before the start of a couple of years ago was a real indication of the job he was going to do. But now, you know, when they have so much depth on the blue line, they're probably looking for a depth defenseman themselves at this point. But I'm not sure what else you want to do. I think you got an indication from them last night in losing to San Jose what that second round matchup between the Flames and the Sharks is going to be like. It's going to be a doozy if everything ends up falling according to Hoyle. So I think Brad knows what he needs to get, some more help on the blue line, and I wouldn't be surprised if he tries to get another depth forward. And it seems to be, they seem to be settled in goal. I mean, Mike Smith and David Rittich seem to be doing a pretty good job for them.
John Shannon with us here on Sportsnet 650. Duchesne and Stone, that's a fascinating one in Ottawa, because you have the owner basically doubled down to suggest that they're going to be a contender in 2 years from now, and they'll be spending to the cap. So whether they get Duchesne and Stone locked up, I mean, I don't know how you can let Duchesne walk based on what they went in for and what they're poised to give up here this summer where they don't have a first rounder. But Brian Burke has said a few times that it was 2 weeks. As a general manager, he wanted 2 weeks to know whether someone was coming or going in order to have time to get ready to move a player before the deadline. Should we not know? 2 weeks is Monday. I mean, should we not know here in the next couple of days publicly what's happening? I mean, we kind of have a sense of what's going on with Columbus now with what Panarin's statement was last week. But
yeah,
with Duchesne and Stone, do we get a little more transparency here in the next couple of days or maybe even this weekend?
Maybe next week, James. Maybe by the end of the week we might know a little more. Everybody's muttering that we're hearing a ton about Duchesne. We're not hearing much about Stone. I tell you what, if I'm the Ottawa Senators, I'm trying to sign Stone before I'm trying to sign Duchesne.
Really?
Well, I think it's quite important to. First of all, I think Stone's a really good leader. I think when you look at his analytic numbers, I think that they're impressive with his takeaways. He's a star, and more importantly, guys, he wants to stay in Ottawa big time. He wants to be an Ottawa Senator. I think Matt Duchesne has got a little bit of the John Tavares disease right now, which is I'm going to play it out. I'm going to wait till July 1st, and then we're going to go into the bidding war. No coincidence, he has the same agent as John Tavares and Pat Brisson. And that to me is a bigger indicator. I mean, Duchesne apparently says he likes it in Ottawa and likes being back in Ontario. But at the same time, he wants to play it out, and I don't think the team wants to do that. They can't afford to lose him for nothing. So from that perspective, and I think that's a lesson that most managers really prescribe to, they don't want to get burned on July 1st. So from that perspective, I think trying to get Stone done probably makes more sense, for me at least, than it does getting Duchesne done.
Brian Burke joins us every Thursday. Yesterday, John, he told, yeah, it's a laugh. Things we have to do. We always go on. Burke, he said, when we talked about the Austin Matthews deal, he goes, there's a lot of GMs that aren't going to be thrilled with that number. Do you agree that now it's kind of set the bar and made things that much more difficult for other GMs?
Well, which number are you talking about? Are you talking 11, 6, 3, 4, or are you talking 5?
Well, talking the 5 was, you know, the one that they don't have him that long. Right now he's free to go. Perfect timing for him.
Let me put it to you this way. If the Maple Leafs haven't got to the Stanley Cup final in the five or the 6 playoff years, they still have Auston Matthews, there's something wrong. I mean, that's how good this guy is. So from that perspective, five more years and 6 playoffs, I think, is more than enough to prove what he's worth. I think it's a great deal. It fits where the Maple Leafs are trying to go in order to try to get to that magic number under the cap. I think it works for Matthews. It's only 1 year of unrestricted free agency. This is one where you knew where the Maple Leafs were standing as soon as they signed John Tavares and what they were going to have to do. They set the bar themselves. And I think Kyle is quite comfortable with what's going on. As far as what the other managers think, you know what? That happens all the time. You know, I remember Mike Gillis doing offer sheets with David Backes in St. Louis, and nobody was happy in St. Louis, but it was the right thing at the right time for the Canucks. This is a competitive business on and off the ice, and anything other than what a manager does for his own team might be a little short of collusion, in my mind. So I don't have a problem with it. I think it works. The one thing I would suggest is that it's not that high-end free agent that's going to have to be moved in Toronto. It's going to be one of those middle-ground guys, the Andreas Janssen or Kasperi Kapanen. I don't think one of those guys will be with this team next year.
John, just quickly, there's been some scuttlebutt with respect to the Canucks, some scuttlebutt that maybe teams are calling about Jake Virtanen. Have you heard much about that? Would they dare within the next 2 weeks?
You know, I mean, listen, I think the phone's always ringing in every manager's office, and I think that players' names get brought up all the time. I think it might be easier for some teams to list the players that aren't being called about rather than the ones that are being called about. At the same time, I think Jim has been pretty straightforward. He's not changing his plan. I think Jake Virtanen has been one of the pleasant stories for the Canucks this year, more so than I think some of us expected. I mean, I would have told you last summer that Virtanen was a bit of a bust. Not now. And I think that maturity of Virtanen is proved to be, and the weight on Virtanen has proved to be paramount for the Canucks. So if I'm Jim Benning, I'm not moving any one of those young guys, particularly the ones that I drafted in the first round.
Sportsnet 650.